Welcome to Red, White, and Blues with host Johnny Cox. Get ready for an amazing journey through the halls of the blues. We might just learn a thing or two along the way. Without further ado, ladies and gents, here's our host, Johnny.
All right, welcome to Red, White, and Blues. This is a program about the genre of music known as the blues. And on this program, we talk about the history of the blues, the music, the instruments, the chords, the artists, and pretty much whatever we feel like talking about on this show. My name is Johnny Cox. I'm your host for today's program. I think we have a really good program in store for you today. We're going to do some acoustic blues. And in the studio, we have my good friend and songwriter, vocalist, musician, Mr. S. Hawk. How you doing, S?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me, Johnny. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you for coming, man. We certainly appreciate it. It is our pleasure. We're getting into acoustic blues today. And I've known you for a few years now, and I've only seen you play acoustic. What is it about acoustic guitar that you like so much?
I think that it takes a little bit more skill in my part to play the acoustic, because you don't have the distortion, you don't have the effects, you don't have everything else that goes along with electric. Electric's a little bit closer to the fretboard, and in my opinion, probably easier to play. I grew up with acoustics. I don't even own an electric guitar. And I've had some, but they just don't stick around very long. So I like the flow of flat tops.
Yeah, I know that. I had a friend of mine a while back, and he said, man, I'm having trouble singing with you, man. I've been a singer in a rock band, but just you and that acoustic guitar, I can't really fit in. I said, well, this is raw. This is where it's at. You know, you can't take a break. You know, the bass player and the two electric guitars and the keyboard and the drummer can carry the song for you. It's you and the guitar, and that's it.
My own personal opinion, I think you got to be clean. You got to hit your notes right, because you make a mistake on acoustic, everybody's going to hear it. On electric, you could just keep on going, and it sounds like it's meant to be.
So, no power chords on the acoustic.
You can't play Jimi Hendrix on a banjo. So.
Yeah, you know, I played in a rock band many years, and I go to acoustic, and they said, why don't you play this song? And you played it in a band. I said, well, that's kind of a different world when you're trying to play the song. It's a rock song on acoustic guitar. It can be done, but certain ones, it's just tough to do. It really is.
And just my own preference.
That's it, you know. But I own several acoustics. I actually own more acoustics than I own electrics. But I like the electric thing too. But I haven't been played in a band now in a few years, and I think the reason is I'm too old and ornery just to get along with four other people on one night.
You know, you got some equipment involved, too. I mean, you're going to be playing electric, yeah. You're going to need the chords. You're going to probably need a pedal if you use them. You're going to need an amplifier, a PA system, whatever. You know, I mean, I put mine in the back of my car and travel, and I got a nice little travel guitar. And I just came back from up north and stopped at a little place outside of Jellicoe up in Kentucky, and it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I was trying to stay awake, so I grabbed my guitar and sat out there in the rest area and sat there on the park bench and started just playing some songs. Next thing I know, I had a nice little group of people come by, and one guy says, are you famous? I said, well, almost. I'm working on it. And I had a good time.
Well, if you had to ask, I guess I am. So, but, yeah, the acoustic guitar is true. Like you said, you can't just hit a power chord. Every string has to ring. You know, it's got to be clean, and you don't have a metronome or drummer back there. Pretty much all your time is right in your elbow.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's like an inner timing.
That's right. And also, like you said, performing live, a lot better hours doing acoustic too. You know, I'll play places out at Edisto Beach, you know, 7 to 10 or whatever. Back in the day, we used to play 10 to 2 in the band. And before the 2 o'clock closing times, oftentimes we played till 4 a.m.
That's rough on acoustic.
Yeah, then you got to back the trailer up with the band, and then drums go first, this, that. The rack, the system, the monitors, and everything. It's like, man, I like acoustic. I can set up in 15 and tear down
in 15.
That's right.
That's all you need. Plug in and go.
All right. I'll tell you what. Let's listen to a couple tunes here. And in a little bit, we're going to get you to play a song or two. Let's just get it going here and have some good acoustic music. This is Miss Carolyn Wonderland, Bad to the Bone. I guess it is George Thorogood's tune, Bad to the Bone, but she puts her own little spin on it. Let's give this one a shot.
On the day I was born, nurses all gathered round, and they gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse, she spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone. Lord, I'm bad, yeah, bad to the bone. Yeah, I'm bad, bad, bad to the bone. I've broke a thousand hearts well before I met you. I'll break a thousand more, baby, before it is I'm through. I wanna be your pretty baby, yours and yours alone. But I gotta tell you something, honey. Lord, I'm bad to the bone. Yes, I'm bad, bad, bad to the bone. Yeah, I'm bad, Lord, to the bone.
All right, that's Miss Carolyn Wonderland from Texas. She was like a child prodigy. She started at age 15, and she's a very good guitarist. She's real big in the Texas scene.
Sounds good.
Very good in the Texas blues scene, and all the Texas guys. She's open for B.B. King, Johnny Winter, Buddy Guy, and Delbert McClinton. And one thing I like about this show is, you know, I dig and I research, and I keep seeing this analogy over and over. I peel the onion.
Yeah, those are some big names. Big hitters here.
Yeah, you know, she was a child prodigy. She started touring a lot of these guys when she was 15 years old. And you'll hear some other stuff. She's a very good guitarist, too. She can play some slide. And she has that big Texas sound. You know, in Texas, everything's bigger and everything's better.
Everything's big.
You know, there's better and bad in Texas. And good acoustic work right there. Now, S, I see, like I mentioned earlier, you like to play acoustic. I see today you brought in a nice Yamaha. There's a Compass guitar, isn't it?
Well, you know, Yamaha makes a good guitar. They make a lot of guitars. It's kind of like Chevrolets. You can get a Chevette or you can get a Corvette.
That's exactly right.
But this one here is kind of a special guitar. And I tell you, it's one of the few guitar manufacturers from its inception that is still owned by the same group of people.
Wow.
They've never been bought and sold. And I think they started making acoustics in, don't quote me, but I think it's 67, 68. And they've been making them ever since.
I actually own 3 Yamaha guitars. I have one, I think it's the FG or FA something. It's probably the cheapest Yamaha you could possibly get for like $130.
A lot of them were laminated, but they got some magic in there.
But I tell you what, that one I got is one of the best sounding guitars I own.
Oh, yeah.
And it's my main guitar in the corner. Like if you're home and you hear a song on the radio, so, man, I'm going to try that. And that's the guitar I always grab first.
You know, I tell people that I don't really pay attention to the name on the headstock. I've done my research like you, but you just about have to feel it. You about see what it gives you. See what comes out of it. And, yeah, I think that's a good one.
Now, Compass is the next level Yamaha. Is that right?
It's one of their higher end, yeah.
And, you know, it's a Japanese company. The real good ones are still made in Japan. And the other ones are made...
Well, the good ones are made in Japan. There's some other ones made in different other areas, but...
That's
yeah.
Right. I bought a thin body a while back. It's the APX 600. It's got the electric neck and a very thin body. I liked it because it's very light.
They're fast.
I'm getting older. Got a thin body. Oops.
That ain't me.
Live radio. I love it. All right. No problem. Live radio.
Time to wake up.
Okay, it won't shut off for some reason. All right, I did it. Sorry, guys. You know, live radio is live radio. Stuff happens. But that's good. Like kind of like a live performance. You ever make a mistake
it's
so
real.
Bad? You ever make a mistake so bad on the guitar it sounds good?
Say again?
You ever make a mistake on the guitar so bad that it sounds good?
Never.
Oh, I have, yeah. Well, that's electric, you know, because electric, you try to go all over the place, and sometimes...
Everybody
like,
hears it.
Sometimes you're 3 frets off, like, you know, that's kind of like a diminished sound. That might work. Sorry, guys, about the...
Yeah, you're good.
About the alarm right there. Yeah, I set 5 instead of 10. But the Compass at the high end, I like Yamaha guitars, you know, Yamaha... I always thought about, you know, when I was growing up on the Northwoods Mall and there was Fox Music House and all those Yamaha pianos and keyboards around
there. Same company.
Same company. You know, I had to find a special feedback cover for mine because mine has an oval hole. And I found it. And if you have trouble finding Yamaha stuff, there's a website called Yamaha 24/7. Any part you can imagine.
I'll keep that in mind.
Or directly from Yamaha itself. Because, you know, you call some of these... online guys, I'm trying to find a sound hole cover. Well, we really can't find one. So I emailed Yamaha specifically, you know, contact us. Guy called me back or emailed me back within a day.
Yeah, they got great customer support. It's the same company. They have been bought and sold and same after generation. They back their product well.
All right, well, I'll tell you what. This show is Red, White, and Blues. And, you know, it's all about the blues. And I know you play some blues on the guitar. What do you like about blues music itself?
You know, I think blues has its, it's been influx in a lot of genres, whether it be rock, country, gospel music. I interpretation-wise, definition, I would think the blues comes from inside the person. It doesn't have to be a loss or maybe something that's sad because it could be about it's been mistaken, I think, for being, you know, crying your beer type music, but that's not always the case.
Not all blues songs are sad songs.
No, they're not. But I think that it comes from inside the performer and kind of they give a little bit of themselves away, how they feel inside, and try to replicate that by making the guitar feel the same way that you do.
Exactly right, and I think the key word there is feel.
Okay,
you play the blues, you know, and you're a young guitarist, or you're learning to play whatever, you get the mechanics of it, but at some point, playing all of a sudden, like, okay, you start to feel it.
I get goosebumps sometimes when I play.
Yeah, and when you feel
my
it,
old stuff.
you feel it, and then it's like, okay, then you throw a little something extra into it, but, you know, blues can get very complex, but it always goes back down to the three chords, the 1-4-5 progression. Well, that sounds like an E to me. There's your 4, that's A. And there's your 5, there's your B. That's right, all day long. You know, B.B. King might throw a 6 chord in there, but the 1-4-5 is the way to go. And you know...
It's still ringing.
There you go. There's that, that's that Compass guitar. And The 145 has just been it for the blues from the beginning, and it changes, but it remains the same. You know, blues is kind of like country music. It'll always go off to the edge, but then it'll come back. I remember, I think it was back in the early 2000s, I was in a country band, and everybody was wanting to hear these new pop country songs, right? And then, you know, Brooks and Dunn was going crazy, and Garth Brooks was going crazy, and also out of nowhere, number one hit was George Strait, Give It Away. The simplest three chords you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
Same right there, E, A, and B. And went straight to number one.
J.B. Johnson wrote that.
Yeah, right. Yes, you're exactly right. And, you know, like Willie Nelson, he's talking about, you know, in the 60s and early 70s, how Nashville was so overproduced, and he recorded The Red-Headed Stranger. They said it's underproduced, there's only two or three instruments on it, it'll never sell. And it's one of the best country albums of all time.
Oh, yeah.
And
made a movie out of it.
That's right. And you know,
it's so good they made a movie.
Hank Williams said, country ain't nothing but the white man's blues.
I'll buy that.
And you think about it, country's the 145 as well. And a different progression maybe, but still it goes back to the 145. And in a way, it almost all goes back to gospel. You know what?
Oh, yeah.
It all goes back to gospel in a way. And we've been talking a lot about the history of blues on this show. How, you know, history goes way back. But really, you talk about the Mississippi Delta. And that's where it really started, acoustic blues. You know, the guys working on the cotton plantations down there, you know, after the Civil War, early 1900s, you know, after the Great Depression and everything. It was tough times down there.
Prohibition. Alcohol was involved somewhere. They got the blues. They got the hungover blues.
There you go. That's right. They had one day off, Sunday. They went to church and, what did they say? They partied all week and went to church on Sunday and emptied their sin bucket and started back Sunday night.
Yep.
Hey, let's listen to one more tune very quick here. Let's see here. How about that was a good old Bobby Rush. That's My Broom, a good old blues tune right here. One of my favorites.
I believe I believe my time ain't long for somebody trying to break up my happy home. Dust my broom, dust my broom, dust my broom, dust my broom.
Oh, that was a Dust by Broom from Mr. Bobby Rush. He's probably one of the last remaining old guys from back in the late 40s and the 50s. Bobby Rush has been everywhere, and I think he's in his late 80s. I think he's still doing over 200 shows a year.
That's a lot.
One thing I didn't realize about doing this show is the blues guys, grass don't grow under their tour bus.
They keep moving.
They're moving all the time. Like I said, B.B. King is estimated to do in his lifetime between 15 and 18,000 live shows.
Oh, wow.
And like I said before, the weird thing about it is the margin of error is 3,000 shows. So, at one time, he played 340 shows in one year.
Every night.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, and he didn't like to fly too much. He took a tour bus everywhere he went. And he would have shows booked, like, you know, it'd be like, say he was in Jacksonville, Florida, and the next night he was in, I don't know, Jackson, Mississippi, but somebody called up, or two nights later he was in Jackson, Mississippi, and somebody called up, hey, you got a date in between there. Can you stop in Pensacola, Florida? Sure I can.
Yeah, on the way.
So he'd pick him up all as he went. All right, listen here. Don't go away. We got a lot more to come. We have S. Hawk in the studio. We're going to listen to some more music. We're going to let S. play a couple tunes. You are listening to Red, White, and Blues on WVFF Radio 97.7 FM.
More Red, White, and Blues with host Johnny Cox coming up after these messages. Here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation,